Sunday the 29th of January 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Purpose-Driven Life. Sermon title, Made for God, Part 2. Bible reading, Luke chapter 10, verses 25-37. Talk by Bob Crowther.
The reading today comes from Luke 10, verses 25-37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any expenses you have.' Which of these three do you think was the neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied to him, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Julie. Isn't it wonderful to see the next generation of churchgoers here today? I think it's just we're truly blessed by seeing the families coming and expanding and bringing them to church. It's great. And parents, if your kids didn't sleep that well last night, I can say with confidence that in a couple of minutes into my talk, they'll be fast asleep. There's no excuse for the rest of you. Okay, so we're well into the new sermon series now, where we're using Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, as a reference for our talks and also for our home group studies. I'd also like to recommend a book that I've passed on to several friends. I once had 10 copies, I'm now down to 2, and I hope that's because my friends have then passed them on to other friends for them to experience their own relationship and finding out about that relationship with God. This book's called Beyond Belief. It's by Peter Meadows and Joseph Steinberg, and it introduces people to the Christian faith in a very relaxed, humorous and yet logical way. And this book builds on certain stages, starting with creation. And once the authors have challenged you to decide whether you believe in that stage, they then move you on to the next topic, helping the reader to find their own logical conclusion that God just is and that Jesus is the way. And the first chapter asks this question: is this all there is? Are we all just one big coincidence that evolved over millions of years? Or can we truly see the divine hand of a master creator behind us? A creator who made each of us so individual that none of us share the same DNA. That on each and every one of us, those tiny lines on our fingertips are completely different. Surely we must be the creation of some master technician. And once we've reached the only logical conclusion that we are not just a lucky jumble of matter, and that we are the individual and unique results of a master creator, surely the next question has to be, why? Why would a divine being with the power to create anything, everything, bother to spend the time on each and every one of us? And Rick Warren's book has the subtitle that asks a very similar question: what on earth am I here for? And surely the answer must be for God's pleasure. Indeed, Roger used this very quote from Revelation 4:11 last week: thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. For God's joy. For his desire to have a relationship with each of us. And I really don't think that God derives his pleasure from watching us as we would watch our pet fish swimming around in their tank, looking down on us, running around, shaking his head as we do silly things, get into scrapes, wondering what on earth we were doing when we were thinking certain things and doing certain things. We are not God's pets. We are so much more than that. And Rick Warren suggests that we were created to be friends with God. God made us because he wants to be the friend of every single one of those precious beings that he individually created. In fact, Rick goes so far as to say God wants us to be his best friends. Best friends. Friendship. I hope that each of us has experienced and still experiences friendship. We can probably all recall friends we made at school and then perhaps others that we later encountered throughout our lives. Perhaps even different friends in different stages and very possibly for different occasions. The friend that you first turned to for wise counsel or turned to for the comfort for comfort at the end of a relationship might not be the same friend you turn to for a night out on the tiles. But God wants to be your best friend. A friend you turn to for everything. For counsel. For pleasure. For conversation. For company. The friend who is beside you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Being best friends, besties, can have perhaps a somewhat childlike feel to it. My best friend at school was someone with whom I spent a great deal of time because we shared the same interests. We were in the same class, we played cricket together, we played rugby for the same team. He had very similar tastes in music to me. We just bonded because of that, and we became good friends. I haven't seen him for years, decades even. We just lost touch because we moved away from where we went to school and we just had different lives that went on different paths. But God is not like that. We may choose to move away from our friendship with God and sometimes, usually even, it's not even a deliberate decision to do this. It's just something that we let lapse. Other stuff has just got in the way of having that relationship with God. But God will never be bored of our friendship. He won't find someone else to be with instead of you. Because of his divine majesty, he's able to have friendship with each of us equally. And not just daily, every second that we're awake. And even when we're asleep. And Jesus has brought us even closer to the way in which God intended us to have a relationship with him. See, in the Old Testament, only certain people could speak with God, and then only after they'd gone through a fair amount of ritual to come into his almighty presence. Can you imagine a friendship where you can only speak to your friend on certain days and not without several hours of preparation beforehand? That's not a friendly relationship. That's more like a master and servant who just happen to get along. And Jesus tells us it's not supposed to be like that. We already know that on Jesus' death, the temple cloth, that was the veil that separated man from God, it was just symbolically ripped in two. That was the physical manifestation of what Jesus told us would happen. This is Jesus speaking in John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And later on, Paul's at pains to explain this to the Romans when he writes to them, this is chapter 5, verse 11. Now we can all rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us by making us friends with God. Now make no mistake, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are one and the same, our Father Creator, our friend. But God's people moved away from that Garden of Eden relationship. And it was a rarity in the Old Testament for people to experience that friendship with God that our Creator originally intended. Moses did. Exodus 33:11 tells us Moses spoke with God face to face, just as one speaks to a friend. James 2:23 tells us Abraham was called a friend of God. And the great characters in the Old Testament are especially mentioned as having that special friendship with God. And yet Jesus tells us this special relationship, this one-to-one personal friendship with God is available to each of us. There's no pecking order, there's no favour, no special preparation. We can each be blessed by having that special friendship with God. So that's all very well. God wants to be our friend, but how do you become friends with someone you can't see? Well, God's not some sort of spiritual pen pal, someone with whom you have a correspondence-only relationship, but who you never truly get close to. God's available to every single one of us. Every second of the day, whenever we want to speak with him. How do you become friends with anyone? You build a relationship, you chat, you grow to know each other, and you can grow to know God by speaking with him, prayer, or listening to him, the Bible. Now, I guess there's a fine line between speaking with God all day and wandering around muttering all day in prayer. If you do that all day long, you might find that God is your best friend, because he may well be your only friend. Rick suggests that we should be in constant conversation with God. Not just devoting some time in our day to studying his word, but rather than just being an appointment in our busy schedules, to be included in every activity throughout the day. Now, I promise you, I'm not on a commission from Waterstones, but I am going to mention another book to you. This one's called The Practice of the Presence of God, and it's by Brother Lawrence. For those of you in home groups, you will have heard this book referred to by the speakers in the DVD we've been watching recently. For those of you who don't know, Brother Lawrence worked in the kitchen of a monastery in France in the 1600s, and despite his somewhat lowly position, was able to turn even the most menial tasks into praise and worship for God. And after his death, Father Joseph de Beaufort compiled a book of his writings and teachings, which was published as The Practice of the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence teaches that the key to friendship with God is not changing what you do, but changing your attitude to what you do. What you normally do for yourself, you begin doing for God. And by achieving this, we spend our lives walking in God's company. Perhaps it might help if I explain a bit about how this works in my own life. I think I've said in previous talks that I liken this to being on the phone with God all day. I try to open that connection with God first thing in the morning. If you like, as I get out of bed, I dial God up and I say to him, good morning. And last thing at night, I say good night and I hang up the phone. And throughout the day, we're just chatting. Doesn't mean I'm always alone with God. I'm clearly interacting with other people during the day. But it does mean that I converse with him throughout the day. I send up quite a few prayers during the course of the day, often for people I don't even know. But I can see they're struggling and I feel they need a prayer. When the weather's bad and we recently had some fog, and I prayed for God to just help people drive safely, sensibly, to be with certain people who I know are travelling by road that day. Sometimes I walk past people and I feel they just need a silent prayer being said for them. The other day, it was a young mum. I was walking to the station. She was coming in the other direction. She had three quick kids. It was fairly early in the morning. I didn't know what she was doing. She could have been going to the childminder before she went to work. She might have been going to the supermarket before she dropped the kids off at school. She was struggling with three very lively children. And I just felt the need to ask God to bless her and her family, to be with them all during the course of that day. You see, for me, it is like a childlike relationship. And I mean by having that childlike, almost innocent belief and trust, faith, that when I speak with God, things will be better. I just want to give you an example. When my son Nick was very, very young, barely even speaking, he bashed his eye with something. And he ran straight to Lucinda, going, kiss eye, kiss eye. His eye hurt, and he had every faith that his mum would be able to kiss it better. And that's a bit like how our conversation should be with God. When we speak with him, it should be in the certain knowledge that he will comfort us. He'll make things better. Now, I should make this clear. I'm definitely not saying that God immediately answers all our prayers in the way that we expect. That's a sermon on its own for another day. My point here is this, that having God as a constant companion and a friend throughout our daily lives gives us someone from whom we can feel a genuine benefit when we speak with him. But sometimes that friendship, that companionship comes just by being with God. There are several quotes on the internet that speak of how we might sit quietly and just be in the presence of God. A bit like coming to visit one's best friend just to enjoy each other's company. The American journalist Dan Rather was said to have interviewed Mother Teresa about her prayer experience. He said this to her, what do you say to God when you pray? Nothing, replied Mother Teresa. I just listen. So what does God say to you? He pressed. Nothing, replied Mother Teresa. He just listens. Sometimes you don't need to say anything to experience a really close friendship. I can remember as a teenager marvelling at my grandparents as they just sat enjoying each other's company. He'd be reading, she'd be knitting. It was just enough for them to be together. And at just the right moment, she'd look at him and she'd say, cup of tea? And his reply was inevitably, rather. They just knew each other so well that they instinctively knew each other's needs. And they delighted in each other's company just by being together. And that's the relationship that God wants with each of us. A closeness that knows no boundaries, no secrets, nothing hidden. A complete openness where we can speak with each other or enjoy each other's company just by being together. Be still and know that I am God. Phil, I should just say this. You will be well aware some friends can let you down. You invite them to your birthday party and they've only gone and arranged a holiday on that day and they can't make it. They offer you a lift to the airport and their car breaks down the night before. They say something to you that they think is out of kindness or perhaps in jest, but you take it as an affront and that damages your relationship for a little while. That's not how it is with God. His friendship is constant, it's reliable, it's unchangeable. And like the Samaritan, he might expect you to step outside of your comfort zone to show the impact that his friendship has had on your life. But be assured that when you do so, your friend God will be right beside you, guiding you as you share his love with his other friends. So how do you intend to become a friend of God this week? Will you undertake to start doing something that you know will please him? Will you start to converse with him more during the day, asking for him to intercede on your life and on the life of others? Will you spend a little more time learning about him through studying his word, or more time speaking with him in prayer? Or will you spend more time just being with him, sitting in the quiet and delighting in each other's company? God created you to be his friend. And it's today the day that he's calling you to put an extra spark in that friendship. Let's pray. Father, if we are to bring you pleasure, then our prayer is that you show us how we can deepen our relationship with you, how we can truly be known by you and by others as a friend of God. We each know what it means to be a friend. We ask that you help us to understand what it is that you want from each of us to be a true friend to you, and through that to be a friend to others, because we truly believe that we show that friendship by sharing Christ's love. So Father, inspire us to lead a life that brings you pleasure, one where we grow daily in our relationship with you. Help us to evidence how much that friendship means to us, to cross the road as the Samaritan did, and to go out of our way to help your other friends. Because by sharing Jesus' love with people, we can truly become known as a friend of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.